Greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When God created the heavens and the earth, God said it was very good. It was perfect. There was no sin. There was no death. And then in heaven, the angels sinned against God, and God cast them down onto this earth. And soon after that, the devil deceived Eve. And because she was deceived, she gave the forbidden fruit to Adam, and Adam ate the fruit. And because of what Adam did, being the representative man, all humanity plunged into sin because of what Adam did. And from that point onwards, sin, death, evil, wickedness, they are all found in this wonderful, wonderful earth that God has given to us, and we call it home. But this is a home that is filled with grief, pain, sorrow, and death. Because man had put himself into a state and a condition just like the angelic beings. The only two creatures created by God that have self-determination, and these are the two creatures created by God that have fallen into sin. Angels and human beings. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ did not take on the form of angels. And therefore, once angels fell into sin, they remained in a state of fallenness, in sin, as fallen angels. Never, never will they be returned back to the state of good angels. And once the time comes for God to send them to hell and ultimately to the lake of fire, and that's where they will go. But in the case of human beings, God looked at us, created in His image, with a different perspective. The moment man fell into sin, God said, the seed of a woman will one day bruise the head of the serpent. And that was exactly what God did. Because from that point onwards, God began to reveal to us the identity of the seed of the woman. And we now know that His identity is none other than Jesus Christ. He is known as the seed of the woman because no man will be involved in his humanity. In order for God to save man, the Savior has to be a man. Sure, we know that in the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ did appear as a human being. For example, in Genesis 18, when the Lord and two angels appeared to Abraham, when he appeared, he took on the form of a human being that allowed him to eat, to drink, to be able to see and touch. But that human being was not the same as ours, because that human form that Christ took on, very much like an adult human being, did not become such from birth to adulthood. Jesus Christ took on that bodily form of a grown human being for that purpose and ministry after which that human being ceases to exist. In order for Jesus to save mankind, He must be like us exactly from birth to adulthood. There is no other way for the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. He had to become one of us. And that was exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He came to become one of us in order to die for us. No other way to save us, because man put himself in this state of sin and condemnation. We have no one to blame, not even the devil himself. The devil can only tempt. He cannot force us to sin. That is why when a person falls into sin, he had no one to blame but himself. He cannot blame the society, he cannot blame the circumstance, he can't even blame the tempter. You don't have to succumb. No matter how seductive the tempter is, when you succumb, it is entirely your own doing. It is entirely our own fault. And unless and until you realize that, you will never truly, sincerely repent. That is what the Bible teaches us concerning repentance. As long as you try to diminish your culpability, you try to point fingers, you and I know that our sincerity behind our repentance is not genuine. You have to simply admit, I have sinned. That's it. No pointing of fingers. It is our fault that this world is in this state and condition, not God. Those who say, well, if God exists, why did he allow this world to be in this shape and condition? God made us in his image with self-determination. He did not make us into a robot. If he made you and me into a robot, then the robot is not to be blamed. Adam was made in God's image. So was Eve. They have self-determination. They have the ability to make a choice. God did not force anyone. They made a choice, and because they made a poor choice, a choice to sin against God, and that plunged humanity into this state of condition of evil, wickedness, death, and suffering, and sorrow and pain. No one's fault but our own. And unless you and I realize and admit this, there is not going to be any salvation for any one of us. Even if God were to offer his only begotten Son, which he did, because it is not automatic. You have to first admit that it is entirely our own doing that we are in this state and condition, and with this humble heart, you approach God, begging for mercy, that God would show mercy to you and save you. Otherwise, any half-hearted begging for mercy will be rejected. And that's why Jesus came from heaven to become like us. His birth is not like yours and mine. Yours and mine, we never existed before we begin to exist in our mother's womb. In the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, he always existed because he was God, and he remains as God even when he took on the human form. He will never cease to be God. That which God put aside when he took on human form was the external glory that belonged only to God. That glory that belonged only to God that Moses wanted to have a glimpse of when he asked God, can I look at you? Can I see what you look like? God said to Moses, no man in this body could see me and survive and live. That glory the Lord Jesus Christ had when he was in heaven before his incarnation. He put that aside so that when he took on the form of a man, when you and I, when the people look at him as he walked on this earth, they do not see him as any different as far as his external physical form was concerned. He looked exactly like an ordinary human being. But he was different. Because he cannot be born like you and me, because all of us are born in sin. All of us are born of father and mother. We are conceived in sin because of father and mother, and therefore we are all born in sin. And that's why the birth of Christ cannot be of a human father and a human mother. In order for Christ to have 100% genuine humanity, it will be through the Virgin Mary, the woman only. Man cannot be involved. And Matthew chapter 1 described that very clearly to us. Verse 18 and verse 19 describe the conception from the perspective of Joseph and the angel. Luke chapter 1 describes the conception of Christ from the perspective of Mary and the angel. Luke 1 is more familiar to us, but not necessarily Matthew chapter 1. This is from the perspective of Joseph. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Now this was exactly what happened. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, the word espoused means betrothed. Betrothed is not like our understanding of engagement. Our present understanding of engagement, which is a Western concept, is based upon two persons' covenantal promise between the girl and the boy, or the man and the woman. That's it. There is no legal standing between what they have promised. It's just a private covenantal promise. When they are engaged, they're basically promising each other that I will no longer have my eyes upon any other lady, and the lady will do the same, vice versa. That I believe that you are the one that God has chosen for me to be married one day as my spouse. That's what it means, our engagement. In the event that they break up, they do not go to the registrar of engagement. It doesn't exist. That is the registrar of marriage. If you want to divorce, you have to register that you are no longer married. You go to the registrar of marriage. There is no registrar of engagement. But they are betrothed in the Old Testament time as well as in the time of Christ. Has a legal standing. It is something between marriage and our engagement, more closer to marriage. It is not consummated. They do not live together. But there is a legal acknowledgement that Joseph and Mary are already betrothed. That if you want to break off this betrothal, you have to go to law for it to be legally broken. It is not a private engagement whereby you can just simply, between the two of you, let's break off our engagement and that's it. This has a legal implication, and that's why it was a little difficult. It was not a private engagement. It was an engagement that was private plus legal implication. And so in this state and condition, they were already betrothed or espoused. Before they came together, that's how we know that there was no consummation. They never lived together. They were preparing. When they become of age, then they will marry. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Somehow Joseph found out that this lady that he was betrothed to suddenly was with child. Now, he did not know that the child was of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. The Bible simply said she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. He did not know it yet. And so Joseph, her husband, that's why the word husband is used, because of the legal implication. Being a just man, a righteous man, not willing to make her a public example. And so he wanted to do it privately. That means let's break off, let's go to law and do it privately as best as we could, because he was a just man. Because if a person is found to be with child before marriage, please understand that is fornication. That means penalty, death, the law of Moses. Of course, during this time, the Roman law, no such thing. The Roman law will not allow you to put a person to death. And that was exactly what they tried to put Jesus into trouble in John chapter 8. When they brought a woman caught in adultery, presented her to the Lord Jesus Christ, putting Jesus Christ into a very awkward and difficult legal position. If Jesus says, stone her to death according to the law of Moses, because now you are not a sovereign nation, the law of Moses is not the law of Rome. The law of Rome says, no death penalty. It's only adultery. No big deal, just like in our law. Fornication and adultery between two adults, no big deal. You don't get put into prison for it. That was similar to the Roman law. No death penalty. If Jesus says death penalty, he breaks the Roman law, he gets killed. If he says no death penalty, he is charged with breaking. You see, he teaches people to break the law of Moses. That was the dilemma that nobody could solve. And they thought that Jesus Christ will be in trouble. Of course, Jesus Christ got himself out of it very easily. If you were to study John chapter 8, and so because of this situation, Joseph being a very honorable and just Christian believer, not willing to make her an example to publicly shame her and humiliate her, no longer death penalty because they're under the Roman law, was minded to put her away very quietly and privately. The word put away means to divorce. Right from the very beginning, the Bible already made it very plain and clear, even before Joseph lived with Mary, before there was any cohabitation, Mary was already with child, and that child was Christ, Jesus Christ. No human seed was involved in the conception, none whatsoever. And the Bible made it abundantly clear right from the very beginning, and this was Joseph's own testimony. I am not the flesh and blood of Jesus of Nazareth. I am only the adopted father. That's it. Not the flesh and blood father of Jesus. She, Mary, was already with Jesus in her womb because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. How it happened, we have absolutely no idea. We are just simply saying what the Bible has recorded. Jesus already existed in heaven as God, and then Mary, the virgin, was chosen by God to be the woman who will give the humanity to Christ. Now, Mary was a sinner like you and me. She needed to believe in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior like you and me, like every other sinner. The difference is that she is the most blessed of all women on earth because she was the only woman out of all the billions of women who existed on earth to be the one that God had chosen, through whom the Lord Jesus Christ will receive his humanity to be born just like you and me in order to save you and me. The conception was by the power of the Spirit of God, where Jesus Christ became God and man in Mary's womb. Jesus Christ was fully God in heaven. But from this point onwards, the moment Jesus Christ began to exist in human form inside Mary's womb, he will forever from henceforth be fully God and fully man. Please understand this, fully God and fully man, the moment Jesus Christ began to exist in the Virgin Mary's womb. And this is also based upon the revelation that God has given to us. The angel came to Joseph, verse 20, but while he pondered, deliberated on these things, on what to do, how to do it privately, quietly, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, do not begin to be afraid to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. She is still a virgin. She is still pure. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She did not commit fornication with any human being. She is still just and righteous and pure and godly and holy. Do not be afraid to marry her. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means Savior. Why? Because the purpose of him taking on the form of a human being is that he will save his people from their sins. That's you and me. That's why he came. He came down from the place called heaven, which is perfect, holy, pure, righteous, no sin, no evil, nothing. And then he put himself into this earth, an earth covered and soaked in sin, evil, and wickedness. He came to save the people who will one day put him to the cross. Why would Jesus do that? Would you? You and I try our best to provide on this dangerous world as safe a home that you could ever, ever want to have. True? That's why we call it home. A home is supposed to be a place of sanctuary, a place of safety and tranquility. Peace must prevail. And that's why it is called home. Once you are outside of your home, It is a world that is filled with dangerous people, and it is a world that is filled with wickedness and hurt and pain. Isn't that what our children experience when they go to school? During recess time, they get bullied. Even in class, you have teachers who are naughty and evil and pick on them for no reason, just simply because they do not like. That's it, do not like your child. And so it is a very painful and difficult place, and our children have to experience this even at a very young age. And you and I know that children sometimes can be very cruel. They mock and they make fun of children. They make fun of the children's name. Have you not experienced this in your own life? You know, with a name like Quek Swan Yu. Quek is a duck. In America for 3 years, you know that no American call me Quek. No American call me Quek. They don't know how to call me. They call me Quek, I don't answer. Quek, 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 who's the duck? So I grew up being mocked at, being made fun of. So you, not me, you, but not me, you. So they don't call me you. So they call me Swan. Swan is like the bird Swan. So it's a duck, it's a bird, and it's not me, but you. And so I grew up being laughed at and mocked at since primary school. And then in the army, they gave me one whole platoon, all speak only Hokkien. I don't speak a word of Hokkien. And so when I want to scold them, I need an interpreter. And then they mock and make fun of me when I'm coming. Jakangtang lai liao, jakangtang lai liao. Jakangtang means eat potato. So that's a name. I didn't know what it means until I asked one of my men, what exactly does it mean by jakangtang? They call me jakangtang, you know. My whole life, laugh at, mock at, make fun of. That's our world. And I'm sure you have your own testimonies and your own experience as well. And so home is supposed to be a place of safety, comfort, and security. Nobody's supposed to mock at me at home. Nobody's supposed to tease me and make fun. It's supposed to be safe. And so we try to provide a small little part of this whole big earth, a tiny little place called home that is safe from a world that is so deadly and dangerous. And for those who are working out there, it's even far more dangerous. Isn't that true? Very soon after I started work, there was this lady who was from the university who was there to be a consultant in our architectural firm. And so I was involved in a project overseas. And one day out of the blue, she asked me, when we were going overseas to talk to our Indonesian partners, the architect and the engineers, and also all the faculty members in that university that we are supposed to build, a brand new university in Ujung Pandang. You know what she said? You want to share a room in a hotel, we save some money. I said, excuse me? I don't even know her. Why don't we share a room? Out of the blue. I said, no, thank you very much. That's it. Why would they want to do things like this? And that was in the 1980s. Today, I dare not imagine what the world is like. The dangerous world. Why would the Lord Jesus Christ come down from the safety of heaven and took on human form and put himself into a world that is filled with evil people and wickedness that you and I can't even fully describe? And he did it purposely and deliberately. And he put himself in harm's way in order to save us. That's what the Bible says. So that he can save his people from their sins. Your sins and mine. There is no other way that God could save you and me but for the Lord Jesus Christ to be one of us, to walk among us, and then to save us. That's why he was born of the Virgin, because to be born like you and me, with human father, human mother, he will be born with sin like you and me. But because he was born without Joseph's involvement, none whatsoever, conceived by the Holy Spirit, he was born perfect. He has to be born perfect as the perfect God-man, fully God and fully man, so that when he died on the cross of Calvary, his death will be enough to take away the sins of the whole world. It is of infinite value because it is the God-man who died. in order to save you and me, not angels. He did not become an angel. He took on flesh and blood in order to destroy the devil who has power over death. And that is to take away your sins and my sins. The reason why death has a sting over your life and my life, that when we die in sin, we end up in hell, is because of sin in our lives. And when our sins are removed and washed away, taken away, then only death will lose its sting. Then only you do not need to die and end up in hell, because you no longer die in sin, because all your sins have been washed away. In order to do that, to wash away that sin, it has to be through the blood of Christ. And in order for the blood of Christ to come, he has to be made of flesh and blood, which is exactly why he was born of the Virgin Mary. So that his blood that was shed on the cross can wash away all your sins, so that your sins will be permanently, eternally removed from your life forever, as if you are no longer born in sin, no longer conceived in sin, no longer a sinner in the eyes of the thrice holy God. And the only way to do that is for the Lord Jesus Christ to be born of the Virgin Mary, so that he can be born of flesh and blood, but perfect, like you and me, with one exception: perfect. We are not. We are already born in sin. We are conceived in sin. You can see this in all the children. They don't even know how to talk yet, but you can see the signs of their carnality, their selfish behavior, their tantrums, throwing all kinds of tantrums whenever they want something. They don't even know what is the right hand and the left hand, and yet you can see the demonstration of their transgressions, the sinful nature. But not the Lord. In order to save you and me, he has to be born without sin. And that's why the virgin birth of Christ is so crucial and so important. And it had been prophesied by God. Now all this was done, verse 22, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14, to be precise, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." A virgin, human, man, seed not involved. "And shall bring forth," give birth a son, "and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means with us. El is short for Elohim. With us is God, where the emphasis is with us, with human being, is God himself. That means Jesus Christ walked among us as God, the God-man, walking among us so that one day he will die for us in order to save us. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we sinned against, he had to come down from heaven's glory to be born of the Virgin Mary in order to be flesh and blood, just like you and me, in order to save you and me from sin, from death, and from hell, a place of great torment and pain. If Jesus did not do that, he would still be God. Please understand this. The state and condition of death, sin, and hell is our own doing. Nobody else deserve to be blamed for the state and condition of our earth except human beings. Not the animals, not the fish, not anything but us. We can't even blame the serpent, the devil. It's entirely our fault. We put ourselves in this state and condition. How dare we blame God? It is our fault entirely. And God doesn't have to come down and save us, but he did because of his grace and his mercy, which means we don't deserve it, but he did it anyway because of his love, which is unconditional for us, for sinful men like you and me. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of the Virgin Mary, to become flesh and blood, to die for your sins and for my sins, so that you and I do not need to spend eternity in hell to be tormented with pain and pain upon pain with the gnashing of teeth, because that's exactly what our sins against God must cause us to end up. We deserve it. That's God's justice. Please understand that when we sin against God, our Creator, and the only justice that we deserve, and we know it, is to spend eternity in hell, because that's exactly where we all will end up. Please do not treat sin lightly. We sin against our Creator. He created us. We sin against him. You and I sin against one another, we can make restitution. But when we sin against God Almighty, the only restitution we can pay is to die in our sin and in hell for eternity, to be tormented forever and ever. And that place is real. Because the rich man, he died and he went there. And he became the greatest evangelist because he begged and begged Abraham, please bring Lazarus back from the dead so that he can witness to my brothers who are not here yet. I don't want him to join me in hell. I don't want him to join. I don't want them to join me in hell. Please save them. If they do not believe the word of God, the prophets and the law, they will never believe even if someone rises from the dead. Believe in the testimony of the word of God. All you need is to believe. Jesus Christ was born without Joseph's participation. Joseph himself testified it. The word of God prophesied it in Isaiah. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name God with us, Emmanuel. And the birth of Christ, Joseph being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife Mary. But please note verse 25, very important. Because when we were in America, our systematic theology professor made this proposal. He said that when you look at the Bible very carefully, especially Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1 describes the virgin conception. It is not the virgin birth. And therefore, to be more precise, we should not use the virgin birth. We should use the virgin conception. All you need is to take one step back and ponder. Is that correct? Virgin conception is not a complete understanding. Because if Joseph had slept with Mary after Mary was with child, she will not be said to be born as a virgin, or Jesus would not be born through the Virgin Mary. And that is why what he proposed was a very subtle but deadly, incomplete suggestion. The virgin birth would definitely include and imply virgin conception. But to say only virgin conception and remove virgin birth, that means you do not know Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. Because the Bible made it very plain and clear that Joseph knew her not. They never slept together till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And then he called his name Jesus. So therefore, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, which would include the virgin conception and the virgin birth. And then after that, Jesus had many more other siblings through Mary. There is no such thing as the perpetual virgin of Mary. The moment Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, Joseph and Mary will live an ordinary husband and wife relationship where there will be other children. Through Joseph and Mary, the Bible made that plain and clear because they did not believe Jesus as the Christ and accepted him until after, because in the book of Acts, we see that clearly. So beware of the wrong doctrine of perpetual virginity of Mary, and beware of those who suggest to you that virgin conception is a more accurate description. They are wrong. Virgin birth include virgin conception, but virgin conception alone does not include virgin birth. And that's why the Bible made it clear to us in verse 25, Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn, until she gave birth to her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, God with us. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed Savior of the world. He came to die for your sins and for my sins. And God accepted what he has done because after Jesus Christ died on the third day, God raised him from the dead as a stamp of approval that what Jesus Christ did for you and for me is enough to take away all your sins if only you would believe. There is no automatic universal salvation if only you would believe. Because there is only one living and true God. There is no other gods. And this same God who created you and me, who watched from heaven as man plunged himself into sin, resulting in sorrow and death, God says you can put a stop to that in your life. You don't need to die in sin, dear friend. Don't let your pride stand in the way of your own salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ loved you. Don't spurn His love. Don't turn your back on His love. He came to die for you. He came to be born just like you, flesh and blood, to die for you and me, flesh and blood, so that your sins and my sins can be washed away. And once your sins have been forgiven by God through Christ, the punishment for sin, which is death and hell, is taken away from you forever. Please, the Lord does not desire to see anyone in hell because He loved you. Don't turn your back on God's love in Christ. For the Lord to send Jesus Christ from the safety and the purity and the holiness of heaven to become flesh and blood in this world of sin, wickedness, and pain, and then to allow His Son to be crucified without lifting a finger to deliver Him from the cross was because of His love. It was the love of God that kept Jesus Christ on the cross, not the nails, His love for you. All you need to do tonight, dear friend, is to sincerely, with all your heart, cry to God and say, Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned, O Lord, forgive me. Forgive me in Christ Jesus. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior, just as you have sent Him to die for me. I humbly receive it with all my heart. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. And the Lord will forgive you and take away all your sins right now, immediately, tonight. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may Thy Holy Spirit speak to every heart tonight and fill our hearts, O Lord, with the brokenness and with the humility to know that unworthy as we are, that God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, would love us sinners such as ourselves so much that You would send Thy only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come down from the glory and the safety and the holiness of heaven to become flesh and blood, to be born of the Virgin Mary, to be one of us in order to die for sinners such as us. O Lord, may Thy Holy Spirit humble every heart that we may realize how much You love us. May we not spurn Your love by rejecting Christ, but to truly in all humility and with a broken and a contrite heart, humbly come to Thee and cry to Thee, O Lord, for salvation, that in Christ Jesus save us for Jesus' sake. For truly we are sinners born and conceived in sin, deserve to find ourselves in hell. But in Your grace and Your mercies and Your love for us, deliver us for Jesus' sake, for we receive Him and accept Him as our Lord and as our Savior, to take away all our sins and to wash us as white as snow. May Thou hear our cry, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 100.